Becoming a Technical Leader, an Organic Problem-Solving Approach. Author, Gerald M. Weinberg. You may not consider yourself a leader, but if you take some time thinking about your daily activities, you might discover that you are. If you are good at your job to the extent that your coworkers ask for your advice, if you were selected to sit in a meeting or a committee to discuss an issue, or if you had ideas you wanted to share with your company, then you are a technical leader. Contrasting models of the world in recognizing leadership. There are many models of how people behave in the world. Even within the discipline of psychology, there are dozens of major models and hundreds of minor variations. The reason there are many models is that each of them is useful, but only in some contexts. The problems arise when we try to apply a model that doesn't match the situation in front of our eyes. The most famous models are organic models. People are empowered in much the same way a gardener empowers seeds, not by forcing them to grow, but by tapping the power that lies dormant within them. In contrast to linear models, no person uses either type of model 100% of the time, and that's one reason why the definition of leadership is so hard to pin down. Models of leadership style. The organic model tells us that each person is unique, and so we can expect many different leadership styles. To help you understand your own distinctive style of working with other people, we will follow a model called B, Motivation, Organization, and Innovation Model. Motivation. You should always look for reasons that keep you and your team encouraged to get to your destination. Organization. The existing structure that enables ideas to be worked through practice. Innovation. As a result of your improved skills, you start thinking of your next steps and generate ideas of how to get there. Leadership can also mean preventing change. As a leader, you can also stop the change, killing the motivation of people by making them feel unappreciated and discouraged, fostering chaos by encouraging high competition that would prevent cooperation, or suppressing the flow of ideas by criticizing every idea instead of listening. A problem-solving style. Successful leaders employ a general style that is called problem-solving leadership. They focus on the process of innovation, and they do so in three major ways. Understanding the problem. Read the specifications very carefully and encourage your team to read them as well. Resolve arguments by referring back to the original problem. Finally, seek clarifications and additional information from the customer. Managing the flow of ideas. Elaborate on an idea that a teammate contributed. Drop your own idea in favor of an idea the team wants to develop and refuse to let it drop before everyone understands it. Take the time to listen to test others' ideas. Withhold quick criticism to keep the ideas flowing. Controlling the quality. Measure the quality and the speed as the project proceeds. Design tools to measure quality as you build a solution and set back from the project to refresh your perspective when needed. Check the ideas with the customer before implementation. So, how can you develop? Stages of development. Practice makes perfect. By practicing, you steadily improve your skills. So, more practicing time means a better performance. But actually, practice alone is not enough. The Great Leap Forward. Spend some time mastering tactics, but don't forget to look for a better strategy. To test your better strategy in practice, you have to deviate from the original strategy that you already know how to use so well. There are plateaus, but you don't really leap. You climb and leave the sure footing. The meta cycle. Whenever you face a new situation, you will feel uncomfortable. But you should know that each time you solve a delicate situation, you will ascend another few steps along a meta plateau that will make you learn a new skill. But I can't be a technical leader. Sometimes growth means painful moments that make people avoid the pain of becoming a technical leader. And here's the most common excuses for avoiding that pain. I am not a manager. There are many more potential leaders than leaders. You may have a title like group leader, yet you are not leading. Or you may have no titles at all, but you are the one who makes your group start to function in new and more effective ways. The appointed leader is the mainspring of the group. The best-designed working groups are those in which leadership comes from everybody, not merely from the appointed leader. Therefore, you should not wait for an appointment. I am not the leader type. People may follow your leadership because you are successful and can solve technical problems that nobody else can solve. So, you should focus on doing the best possible job, not caring about who supplies the ideas. The vision. People become leaders because of the way they react to failure, and vision is the secret key that makes you accept failure and believe that there's a unique thing that only you can do. Whatever vision you have, keep going up and be sure of your ability and preparation to solve the problems. If you lack such a vision, look somewhere in your past. You must have believed that something was important, that something you could do would make a difference in the world. Helping others. Creating helpful environments is one way of helping people. However, if people don't want your help, you'll never succeed in helping them. Sometimes, offering help can be interpreted in a negative way, like if you are trying to interfere or show your muscles. To avoid that, always check whether people really need your help, and only if you want to be helped in the same situation and in the way you would want to be helped. Gaining organization power. Leaders need new powers other than their technical ones, especially if they were appointed to a new managerial level, as they will need to gain organizational power so as to obtain resources for their team of innovators. Resources can be money to pay for training, support staff, office space, tools to make work more efficient, and many other resources that serves the main goal of the leader, which is creating an environment in which people are empowered. Getting resources is not easy, so leaders need to learn about power conversion, which is the ability to convert one form of power into another that you value more. Think of your personal power as it can be converted into almost anything. But, again, it all starts with you. Know your power and conversion value, and then start making the deal. The transformation and change support. As your personal power grows, so do the consequences of your very little act. And when you make a suggestion, people may take it as a mandate. When you smile, it's an approval. If people consider you powerful, it becomes difficult to observe without influencing. In this case, the observer becomes the observed, and the experimenter becomes the subject. Without knowing what you are doing, you slip into a fixed pattern, either hanging on desperately to what you have, or changing every opportunity just for the sake of change. To avoid falling into this trap, you may need a new type of supporter. This supporter is your soul. But before you ask for its advice, you must understand it well consciously, then do what you really want to do. Leadership is like sex. Many people have trouble discussing the subject, but it never fails to arouse intense interest and feelings. Everyone says you should enjoy sex, so whom can you talk to when it doesn't work right? If you find leadership messy, embarrassing, and sometimes painful, you are not alone.